And luckily for me and our listeners tonight, I have one of those three finalists. Her name is Flora Carbo, and she's a Melbourne-based saxophonist who's quickly becoming one of the most exciting young artists in the Australian jazz scene. She studied with Julian Wilson, Melissa Aldana, Jim Denley and Scott McConachy. And she's performed extensively in Melbourne and around Australia and at festivals including Wangaratta, the Melbourne International Jazz Festival and the Stonington Jazz Festival. Completing a Bachelor of Music degree with honours at the University of Melbourne and the James Morrison Academy back in 2019. She's worked with world-renowned artists, including pianists Barney McCall and Andrea Keller. She was nominated for the Friedman Jazz Fellowship in 2021, 2019 and 2018, and as a finalist for the Young Australian Jazz Artist of the Year, and at the 2019 Australian Jazz Bell Awards. Flora Carbo, welcome to Now's the Time and congratulations on your Friedman Fellow nomination.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank. Really appreciate it.
Can we start by finding out a little bit about your musical background, Flora? How did you discover the path of music and in particular the alto saxophone?
Ah, yes. I think I began playing music. I grew up in a bit of a musical household. My brother, Theo, is a guitarist, and my dad is also a guitarist, so lots of guitars. But we grew up as kids, both Theo and I, going to music festival after music festival, after music camp, after music festival, and we were totally spoiled for choice in our live music that we participated in. We used to go to Wangaratta Jazz Festival every year from when we were young, and we used to go to all the folk festivals, Woodford Folk Festival, the National Folk Festival in Canberra, and it was kind of part of our, whenever we would go somewhere as a family, it would be music related. And I think that really, really stuck with me to this day. I feel like I'm coming to terms with how inspiring that upbringing was for me. I totally adore live music, and I think that was the sort of the inspiration for me to begin to sort of play music. And I think that has led to sort of me really thinking a lot about community and about bringing people together in spaces. And I think that is what has inspired me and what still does to this day. And I think that's kind of what really brought me to music and playing music. But the alto saxophone, I began in high school, and I had a fantastic teacher straight away that was sort of like really set me off on a path of improvising and also invited me in to connect to communities within like my school, like the music community within my school across all your levels. And sort of there was all these opportunities and these connections that we could make across year levels and all these, and I really, really love that feeling. I love being a part of something and have this like language of music that connects people together. And so that's kind of what, and then I stuck with it, and I have stuck with it ever since. And here we are. Yeah.
well done, and congratulations. Just in terms of the alto saxophone, who would you consider to be your major influence on the alto?
Ooh, yes. I've got hundreds of names running through my mind, but a couple that really stand out, I guess, is, of course, the great Lee Konitz is one of my sort of primary influences, and Charlie Parker. But lately, I think I've really been inspired by the music of Bernie McGann, of course, as part of the legacy of Australian jazz, and also players like Scott McConachy. There's an amazing alto saxophonist based in LA called Sam Gendel, and I'm very inspired by his approach to taking the saxophone into spaces of accompaniment in sort of more like popular music maybe, or like songs, or and kind of adding interesting, like you can, and he's got a very distinctive style that you can hear even if he's only playing one note, and you hear it in all of these amazing recordings in production and things, and you're like, that's him, I know it, and it's kind of incredible. So I really look up to that kind of way of playing. It's very sort of subtle, and So he's definitely one that I'm really inspired by at the moment. And of course, I have a band at the moment called Ecosystem with two other alto saxophone players. One is Zach O'Connell and Bernard Alexander, and those two especially are very inspiring to me. And of course, all of the other alto saxophone players in Melbourne, including Holly Moore, Cheryl Durong-Pazitkul, and let me think, who else? I think I'm very much a peer-inspired person overall. And so I guess those kind that kind of sticks out in my mind as inspirations.
And what about overall sound in terms of music? Obviously, you're taking inspiration and influence not only from saxophonists.
Yes. I feel I'm a bit of a folky. And so currently my musical sort of inspirations have come from singer-songwriters and the sounds of voice. And I sort of really love the voice likeness of the alto saxophone. And that is something that I've been really interested in over the last couple of years. And so lots of, singer-songwriters and vocalists, and just thinking about the sort of individuality of the human voice and the way that vocalists can access this incredible individuality, and really, like, it really informs the individuality of music and of the music that they create. And I really love that kind of, that intensity of the humanness of sound. And I've been thinking a lot about that in terms of how to apply that to saxophone playing, saxophone being a very vocal instrument. And then on a side note, I've been spending a lot of time throughout the sort of COVID-19 lockdown playing a lot of violin. I've been trying to teach myself how to play Irish tunes or old-time tunes, like kind of folk music on the violin, and that's been kind of a big inspiration for me at the moment. So that's kind of some of the outside of the jazz realm inspirations that I'm enjoying at the moment.
Well, the great alto saxophonist Ornette Coleman did that, I think, too. He taught himself violin, didn't he?
Yes. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. Of course, Ornette Coleman is, of course, one of the most primary alto saxophone influences for me. I can't believe I forgot him.
You've released three recordings, is that right?
Yes, and a couple of projects alongside others as well.
Arthur's Walks, I think, most recently in February of this year. How do you believe your approach to music has developed since your first recording back in 2018? Erica, I think it was.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Erica was definitely a project with a specific ensemble, and it was a very live recording, and we only did it, I think, a couple of takes of those tunes in the studio. We only had a couple of hours, I think, only one afternoon. And it's a very live sort of record of that moment in time with those beautiful musicians, Isaac Anu on the bass and Madison Carter on the drums, which are two very fundamentally inspirational people for me as a musician. And they are actually coming up to Sydney to perform with me, which is very, very exciting. I feel very, very grateful that they're taking the time out to come up. But those two especially are some of my closest musical people. And so that's kind of what that album was. Very, very live and, you know, warts and all, I guess. Mm. And then the next one was a bit more of a project with which I worked on alongside my brother Theo, where It came out of an honors project that I was doing, looking into the voice blackness of the saxophone, particularly in regard to some incredible Malian singers, Umul Sangari and Mariam Bagayogo. And so the album was sort of a more produced album with the help of my brother, who sort of has excelled in learning production and sound recording and everything. And so he mixed it with me and also produced it alongside me. And so there's way more layers to that project, way more people coming in and adding their little parts. And I really loved thinking about crafting music like that. And I think that really led itself, that sort of led on to this latest release, Arthur's Walks, which is a sort of more isolation kind of, the product of isolation, and it is kind of a self-produced one where I sort of did the producing of it myself, rather than bringing in somebody else's production views. And it was kind of built, crafted from little pieces. And I would send little snippets to people to add things on, and they would send it back. And then over a long period of time, I ended up bringing other people in and recording stuff when we could be in person again. And I really got a lot of joy out of creating music through recording and then building upon a little seed, but not having the sort of restrictions of having to sort of notate it onto a sheet of paper and bring it to a band. And so I really love thinking like that. So I guess there's kind of a through line through all of this, but it all comes back to the incredible collaborators in these projects and the sort of inspirations from, you know, this beautiful community that I'm so lucky to be a part of. And so that's kind of the differences between the three projects. But Arthur's Walks is definitely the most produced, I guess, one out of all. Yeah.
I must admit, Flora, I've never been totally convinced by jazz music competitions. I mean, the idea of musicians or artists competing against each other seems fraught with difficulties in terms of how subjective the music or the art can be. Surely you're competing with yourself more than the other two finalists. What are your thoughts on how you'll approach this performance?
Well, I think the beauty of this opportunity really, for me, I mean, because I have been nominated a couple of times before, which is such a privilege and such an honour to be selected as part of these incredible lists of... We're so lucky in Australia to have so many incredible creative jazz musicians. It's incredible. Yeah. And I think that what I have really gotten a lot out of it is the opportunity to sort of have the possibility of what... Like, just the opportunity to think about what would I like to do? What would I do with this money? And you know, what would I like to create? And why? And how does it lead on from what I'm doing now? And having that sort of vision, having a sort of project vision that you then put some time into to create a proposal, it then formulates all these other inspirations around it that then fuel you for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think that has been such an invaluable opportunity. So I think that regardless of any outcome or competition, competitions are always a very strange thing, especially in music, because everything is so subjective and, you know, it's more just a celebration of, you know, the sort of incredible, emerging creative talent there is in Australia. And also the fact that then, you know, as a young artist, I get the opportunity to think up an idea and kind of craft it into a possible project that will happen. And it will, you know, these things might take longer, but they will happen even if you don't win the prize. So that's how I've really been, you know, thinking about this over the last couple of years, because it's just been such a privilege to be a part of and have the opportunity to sort of think about what the future holds and why. So I'm really enjoying it.
Well, I guess I guess that partially answers my final question, because I was saying, regardless of the end result, what is next on the horizon for you? I mean, with an album recording like Arthur's Walks, this very layered or produced sound, it doesn't necessarily easily translate to a live setting, does it? Or does it?
Yes. Yes. Well, I guess what I'm thinking about doing for the performance is I'm bringing up some of my closest friends and collaborators, and we're going to present a sort of performance featuring, kind of highlighting these collaborative relationships I have with these people, my close musical people. So it's going to feature Isaac Anu on the double bass, Madison Carter on the drums, and my friend Eitan Ritz, who plays modular synthesis and does live processing. Oh. And so I've had a duo with Eitan where he sort of manipulates my sound as I play, and then we play together and we create these feedback loops of processing. And so I guess in some ways it's kind of like we're recording and then chopping it up, but in real time. So this kind of idea of production and of like the sort of possibilities of the electronic elements to creating sound and communicating in live performance, that's kind of what I love to do with Eitan. So I'm hoping to sort of present a little bit of our work together as a duo, but also as a larger ensemble, which we had a residency working on a new work of mine called Magnify, featuring just this ensemble with Madison and Isaac as well, kind of thinking about the like warpiness of jazz and having this kind of surreal element alongside the sort of the more conventional bass, drums, saxophone trio, and the sort of, the ways you could get a bit weird and warpy with that. So I'm hoping to sort of have a bit of fun with that on the 3rd. So that's going to be really nice. I'm really looking forward to it. But it's not a direct representation of any of my recorded material, really. So it's kind of exciting. It's a bit different. Yeah.
Flora Carbo, expanding the language of jazz and improvised music. Congratulations once again on your nomination and making it down to the final 3. And thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank. It's been a pleasure.
Flora Carbo.